A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's asking about paint-based versus alcohol-based permanent markers for inventory marking, especially on small surfaces where you need precise numeric IDs. The core question is whether oil-based paint markers are always the tougher option, or if there are situations where a standard alcohol marker actually makes more sense. Andy wants us to consider both black and light surfaces, with real-world abrasion and handling in the mix. That assumption is wrong, and the edge cases where it fails are exactly the scenarios inventory managers deal with every day.
But on a 6mm surface where you're trying to fit a 4-digit asset number, that thickness becomes the problem. Automated inventory systems using small QR codes and numeric IDs on tools, equipment, components. The marking medium you choose directly impacts scan reliability and how long that asset stays trackable. Exactly the tension. Let's define what we're actually comparing here. On one side, you've got oil-based paint markers. Think Uniposca, Sharpie oil-based, Edding 780. These use pigment particles suspended in an oil or resin vehicle.
Let's start with what we're actually comparing. What's the chemistry difference between these two types?
Oil-based paint markers, think the UniPaint PX21 or the Sharpie oil-based line. They use pigment particles suspended in a solvent carrier. Standard Sharpie, Edding 3000, that family, dye dissolved in alcohol with a resin binder. The dye partially penetrates porous surfaces like cardboard or untreated wood, but on non-porous stuff, plastic, metal, it just sits on the surface. The mark is under 5 microns thick. It's essentially a stain rather than a coating. So, you're comparing a 20-micron paint film to a 3-micron dye layer.
The instinct is to say thicker equals tougher.
And that difference in failure mode is where the whole durability conversation gets interesting. A thinner dye layer that's partially penetrated into the substrate doesn't have that clean separation plane. It's the difference between a sticker that can peel off and a stain that's part of the fabric.
The thing that makes paint markers look more substantial is actually the thing that makes them fail catastrophically.
The resin binder is tougher, the film is thicker, there's just more material to wear through. But the failure mode matters. Paint markers fail by delamination. The entire film peels off in a sheet. One edge lifts, and suddenly your whole asset tag is gone.
Whereas the alcohol marker just fades.
Gradually and predictably. You can watch a Sharpie mark get lighter over weeks of handling and still read it at 80% faded. You can't read a paint marker mark that's peeled off in a 2mm chunk right through the middle of a digit. That's the inventory manager's nightmare. Not a mark that's getting faint, but a mark that's suddenly illegible because a piece of it physically detached. Under identical conditions, alcohol-based markers show 15 to 25% legibility loss. But here's the crucial detail. The paint marker loss is catastrophic removal, while the alcohol marker loss is gradual fading. That's the crux. On a 4x6mm area, which is a realistic space for a 4-digit numeric ID on a small component, a paint marker's line width becomes a real constraint.
On paper, the alcohol marker wins for abrasion. But there's got to be a catch, because paint markers are the standard in plenty of industries.
The catch is chemical resistance. Paint markers, once cured, form a cross-linked film that laps off oils, hydraulic fluids, MEK, acetone, the stuff that would dissolve an alcohol marker on contact. The alcohol flashes off almost instantly. Isopropyl alcohol or ethanol as the carrier solvent evaporates in under a second at room temperature. The dye doesn't have time to migrate laterally before it's locked in place. With a paint marker, the mineral spirits or xylene in the oil-based formulation takes several seconds to evaporate, and during that window, the pigment particles can drift.
We've got a trade-off already. Abrasion resistance goes to alcohol markers. Chemical resistance goes to paint markers. What about temperature?
Paint markers dominate there too. The Edding 780, which is a ceramic-based industrial paint marker, is rated for continuous use up to 400 degrees Celsius and intermittent use up to 600. alcohol markers fail above about 150. A camera notices everything. Modern OC, our systems are looking at pixel-level contrast boundaries. If the edge of your digit has a 50-micron halo of scatter pigment, the recognition confidence drops.
Like buying a fire truck to water your garden.
A very expensive, very orange fire truck. And here's where the small surface constraint that the prompt mentioned becomes critical. It does up to a point, but once you're above about 60% contrast, which is basically any dark mark on a light surface or vice versa, edge definition takes over. And this is where surface color becomes critical. When you apply a paint marker to a tiny surface, the meniscus effect during application creates thicker edges around the perimeter. On black surfaces, you need a light-colored mark for contrast. Your options are white, silver, gold, or some fluorescent color. White paint markers use titanium dioxide as the pigment. That's what makes them opaque enough to show up on black. But titanium dioxide has a mean particle size of about 0.2 to 0.3 microns, which is relatively large for a pigment. It makes the paint film chunkier, more prone to microcracking.
The white paint marker on black plastic is the worst-case scenario for small surface durability.
It really is. The mark is thick, the pigment particles are large, and black plastic, especially polypropylene or ABS, often has a slightly oily surface from mold release agents.
Let's talk about what's actually happening at the surface level. How does the adhesion mechanism differ?
Paint markers rely on mechanical interlocking. The liquid paint flows into the microtexture of the surface, then hardens, creating a physical grip. On rough or porous surfaces, this works well. It's a week of normal picking and restocking. And here's the counterintuitive part. A silver metallic alcohol marker on that same black plastic bin will often last 3 times longer, despite having lower theoretical abrasion resistance. A scratch that penetrates the film creates a propagation path, and the entire film can delaminate from that single point.
It's like a zipper. One snag and the whole thing unzips.
A warehouse I read about switched from white paint markers to silver alcohol markers for their black polypropylene totes and went from remarking every 6 weeks to remarking every 4 months. The dye molecules, typically solvent black 29 or solvent black 7, with a molecular weight around 400 to 500 grams per mole. They penetrate 1 to 5 microns into porous substrates and form a diffuse boundary layer. Light surfaces flip the whole equation. On a white or natural polypropylene bin, a black alcohol marker is often the optimal choice. The dye gives you excellent contrast, the mark is thin enough that it doesn't create a raised texture that can catch and abrade, and the edge sharpness is superb.
This is why the failure mode is fading rather than chipping.
Abrasion wears away the dye molecules gradually. You lose contrast over time, but the mark remains geometrically intact. A barcode scanner or a human eye can still read a faded mark. A chipped mark is just absent.
Let's get into the substrate color question, because the prompt specifically asks about black versus light surfaces.
It's the difference between a speed bump and a painted line on the road. Paint markers are overkill unless chemical resistance is needed. You're adding a failure mode you don't need for contrast you could get with a simpler solution.
On black surfaces, that's where paint markers seem essential.
The polymer chains that are bonding the resin to the substrate are being flexed microscopically with every scrape. Eventually, they just fatigue and let go. The alcohol mark doesn't have enough height to generate that leverage. The physics of the interface are completely different. It's the fundamental trade-off of white paint markers. You can't have high opacity and high flexibility in the same film.
The very thing that makes white paint markers visible on black is what makes them fragile.
An alcohol-based mark can be completely removed by the very solvent it was dissolved in. A single wipe with isopropyl alcohol, which is the most common industrial cleaning agent, will take an alcohol marker off in under 5 seconds. The metallic pigments reflect light differently, so even a thin layer reads as bright against a dark background. You're trading some contrast for significantly better abrasion resistance.
This isn't theoretical. You've got a case study on this.
There's a comparison I came across where a steel tooling mark in a machine shop survived 200 hours of oil immersion with a paint marker, and the alcohol marker was gone in 2 hours. After 3 months of handling, 23% of the marks were unreadable due to edge chipping from socket wrench contact. Unless your solvent is specifically isopropyl alcohol and you're using alcohol markers, then you have a problem. but that's usually a known constraint. Most machine shops are dealing with cutting oils and coolants, not alcohol baths.
What about temperature? Warehouses get hot, cold storage gets cold.
Temperature splits the decision in a way most people don't expect. Paint markers handle high temperatures much better. The Edding 780 is rated for continuous use up to 200 degrees Celsius. The resin doesn't soften. The pigment doesn't degrade. Alcohol markers fail above about 80 degrees Celsius because the dye literally sublimes, goes from solid to gas, and your mark evaporates.
Cold is the opposite.
Cold is where paint markers become brittle. Below about minus 20 Celsius, the paint film loses flexibility. The thermal expansion coefficient of the polymer film is different from the substrate, usually the plastic or metal underneath, and the differential contraction causes cracking. Alcohol markers, because the mark is so thin, flex with the substrate.
18 months versus 6 months, and the alcohol marker is supposedly the less durable option. The heuristic of use pain for everything is costing people real money.
It's a failure of imagination, not engineering. The information is out there. The ASTM data exists, but the shop floor wisdom hasn't caught up.
We've established that paint markers chip and alcohol markers fade. But what if you need both chemical resistance and abrasion resistance? That's where it gets tricky.
That's where the hybrid approach comes in. You use a paint marker for the initial mark, getting the contrast and chemical resistance you need, and then apply an alcohol-based clear top coat over it, something like the Edding 4040. The polymer film has a higher coefficient of thermal expansion than the metal or rigid plastic underneath, so when the temperature drops, the paint film wants to shrink more than the substrate does.
You're essentially laminating the paint mark.
At minus 20, it's below its glass transition temperature, so it can't. It fractures instead. The contrast and chemical resistance of paint with the abrasion resistance of a thin protective film.
There was a case study on this too, with injection mold tooling.
And the alcohol marker avoids this entirely because the film is so thin that the absolute magnitude of the stress is negligible. There's just not enough material to generate a crack. That's a six-fold improvement from a two-step process.
The UV curable top coat is interesting because you mentioned those in a previous discussion about markers. They cure instantly under UV light, so you're not waiting around for drying.
That 2025 IJIE study found that a 5-second wipe with isopropyl alcohol before marking improved adhesion by 340% on polypropylene substrates. 340%.
Let's talk about the application side, because technique matters as much as chemistry here. Paint markers have some quirks.
Paint markers require shaking, 30 seconds or more, to suspend the pigment particles before every use. If you don't shake adequately, the first 10 to 20 strokes are inconsistent because the pigment concentration is wrong. Almost everyone skips it. You grab the marker, you scribble the number, you move on. But new plastic parts come with mold release agents still on the surface. It's a thin film of silicone or wax that's designed to prevent things from sticking.
Alcohol markers are just uncap and go.
Ready instantly, consistent from the first stroke. For production environments, that consistency reduces human error. A worker who's marking hundreds of items isn't going to shake the marker perfectly every time. You're marking on a non-stick pan and wondering why the mark doesn't stick. The degreasing step is the single highest impact, lowest effort improvement you can make, regardless of which chemistry you choose.
Surface preparation matters too.
Because of the failure mode again. On a contaminated surface, both marker types will eventually fail, but the paint marker fails catastrophically. The entire film delaminates because the bond to the substrate was never established. The alcohol marker fails gracefully. It fades patchily, but you can still read it for a while. So, if you're not going to prep the surface, and let's be honest, in a lot of high-volume operations, nobody's wiping every bin with alcohol. The alcohol marker is the safer bet despite being theoretically less durable.
That's a useful heuristic. If surface prep is unreliable, go alcohol.
If you can guarantee surface prep, paint markers become much more attractive on the surfaces where they're otherwise the right choice.
I want to push on that. Nobody's wiping every bin point. In a high-volume distribution center, you might be processing thousands of bins a day. Is there a way to do surface prep at scale, or is it always going to be a bottleneck?
There are inline solutions. Some facilities run new bins through a quick wash station before they enter circulation. essentially a mist of isopropyl alcohol followed by an air knife to dry. It adds maybe 3 seconds of dwell time per bin on a conveyor. For existing bins already in circulation, it's harder. You're relying on the initial marking process, and that's where the human factor bites you. The most realistic approach is to make surface prep part of the receiving process for new inventory containers before they ever hit the floor. Once they're in circulation, you're living with whatever marking system you chose.
The surface prep decision is really a one-time gate at inbound receiving.
And that's where you can justify the extra step, because you're handling the bin anyway. You're inspecting it, you're assigning it an ID, you're entering it into the system. Adding a 5-second wipe at that point isn't a separate operation, it's just part of the intake workflow. The problem is that intake workflows are often designed by people who have never had to remark a bin in their lives.
Let's build the matrix then. Small surface versus large, black versus light.
First, small black surfaces. This is your classic electronic component tray, small plastic bin, anything under 10 millimeters where you need a numeric ID. Your only real contrast option is a white or metallic mark. White paint marker is the default, but it requires careful application, one pass only, no going back over it, and ideally a clear top coat or UV curable overcoat for durability. The alternative is a silver metallic alcohol marker, which gives you better edge sharpness and no cracking issues, at the cost of slightly lower contrast.
The top coat is realistic in a warehouse.
For high-value assets, yes. For commodity bins, probably not. That's where the silver alcohol marker becomes the pragmatic choice despite being theoretically less rugged. I've seen electronics manufacturers use a two-part system where the bin gets marked with a silver alcohol marker and then a clear adhesive label goes over the mark. It's not elegant, but it works. The label takes the abrasion. The mark stays pristine underneath.
Second quadrant, small light surfaces.
Black alcohol marker, no question. The edge sharpness is optimal for small numeric IDs, the contrast is excellent, and the thin mark doesn't create a raised profile that catches and abrades. Black paint markers on small light surfaces are actually worse. The chalky, thick mark obscures fine details and is more prone to impact damage. This is the quadrant where the supposedly inferior alcohol marker definitively outperforms. A silver alcohol marker on black anodized aluminum might have a film thickness of 3 microns versus 20 for a white paint marker, but the reflectivity difference makes it nearly as visible while being far more durable.
Let's build out the decision framework. If I'm standing in front of my inventory, marker in hand, what questions should I be asking?
You can apply a UV curable overcoat if the asset justifies it, and the paint film's abrasion resistance really delivers. This is your heavy equipment, your large totes, your pallet racks. If yes, white paint marker with a protective top coat. 3. If chemical resistance is not required, is the surface smaller than 10 millimeters in any dimension? If yes, use a silver or metallic alcohol marker regardless of color. Black paint marker for maximum durability, or black alcohol marker if you prefer the cleaner look and the handling environment is gentle. On a large white bin, both will work, but the paint marker will outlast the alcohol marker under heavy abrasion.
The smaller than 10 millimeters rule overrides everything?
In my view, yes. The geometric disadvantage of paint markers on small surfaces is so pronounced that it swamps other considerations. A chipped mark on a tiny component is a lost asset. The risk isn't worth it.
What about procurement? What should people actually buy?
Stock both types. White paint markers, the Uni PX21, or Sharpie oil-based, for dark surfaces where chemical resistance is genuinely needed. Multiple coats increase film thickness, and increased film thickness increases delamination risk. It's a nonlinear relationship. The stress at the film substrate interface goes up faster than the abrasion resistance of the thicker film. Two coats don't give you twice the durability, they give you maybe 20% more wear resistance and a much higher chance of peeling. One well-applied coat with proper surface prep outperforms 3 sloppy coats every time.
That's counterintuitive enough that it's worth emphasizing. More is worse.
More is worse with paint markers on non-porous surfaces. On porous surfaces like wood or cardboard, multiple coats can help because the first coat soaks in and the second builds a surface film. But on plastic or metal, you're just stacking layers that don't bond to each other as well as the first layer bonds, or doesn't bond, to the substrate.
I'm picturing someone going back over their number to make it darker, and inadvertently guaranteeing it'll peel off in a week.
That's exactly what happens. The second pass re-wets the surface of the first layer, but the solvent in the fresh ink doesn't fully integrate the two layers. It creates a weak boundary. It's like painting over semi-dried paint on a wall. It seems like you're building up coverage, but you're actually creating a plane of weakness.
What about the mixed inventory problem? A facility that has both black and light bins, and they want to standardize on one marker.
This is a real operational constraint. Having two different markers on the floor means someone will grab the wrong one. The compromise solution is metallic alcohol markers, silver or gold.
There's an interesting knock-on effect here that we haven't touched on. Barcode readers and QR scanners have gotten better, but they still struggle with certain types of mark degradation.
And you get all the edge sharpness and graceful degradation advantages of alcohol-based chemistry. A faded alcohol mark reduces contrast uniformly, which degrades gracefully. The scanner might need to work harder, but the information is still there. It's the good enough, everywhere, perfect, nowhere option. And in logistics, standardization has its own durability. A process that people actually follow consistently often outperforms a theoretically better process that gets mixed up.
How much contrast do you actually lose with metallic on white? I'm trying to visualize silver ink on a white bin.
It's not ideal. Under diffuse warehouse lighting, silver on white can be hard to read at a glance.
Let's look forward a bit. Where is this technology going? Are markers becoming obsolete?
The workaround some facilities use is to designate specific marking zones with a colored background patch. So you put a small black or dark gray sticker on the white bin and mark on that with the silver metallic marker. It sounds like extra work, but it's a one-time setup per bin.
You're creating a standardized contrast patch.
And once you've done that, the metallic marker works everywhere. It's a systems thinking approach rather than a materials-only approach. The wax carrier solidifies into a film that's about 5 to 10 microns thick, thinner than traditional paint, thicker than alcohol dye, and it has good adhesion to metals and plastics. This is where the technology is heading as of 2025 and into 2026. UV curable markers. Markhol makes a ProLine UV series, combine the best of both worlds.
The hybrid approach we talked about, paint marker plus clear top coat, might eventually be replaced by a single marker that does both.
You get the edge sharpness of alcohol with the chemical and abrasion resistance of paint.
You need a UV light.
A small handheld UV LED wand, cure time of about 5 to 10 seconds. It's an extra step, but for high-value assets or regulated environments. Aerospace parts, medical devices, anything with a serial number that has to survive for the life of the product. It's becoming the standard, and the cost is coming down.
The ASTM D5264 standard you mentioned earlier, is that something manufacturers typically cite?
The better ones do. Edding publishes Tabor abrasion data for their industrial line. Most consumer brands don't. If the manufacturer won't tell you how they tested durability, assume they didn't.
What about the surface texture variable? We focused on smooth surfaces, but what about rough or textured ones?
It's for fixed asset tagging in a controlled environment, not for a warehouse worker labeling bins on a mezzanine. Alcohol markers also benefit, but the advantage shifts slightly toward paint because the film thickness matters less when the surface itself provides mechanical keying. The failure mode still favors alcohol for abrasion, but the gap narrows. Adhesive labels are their own entire category, and they solve some of these problems while creating new ones. A good polyester label with an aggressive acrylic adhesive will outlast any marker on most surfaces. But labels peel, labels get dirty at the edges, labels can be applied crooked.
The substrate material is as important as the color.
Markers win on flexibility and speed, labels win on print quality and consistency. It's a different trade-off.
For the listener who's trying to solve this problem today, what's the test protocol?
Take your actual substrate, the exact bin or component you're marking, and do a 100-rub abrasion test with a dry microfiber cloth. That simulates about a month of typical handling. If the mark is still readable after 100 rubs, you're in good shape. If it's not, look at the failure mode. Did it fade evenly? Switch to a paint marker or improve surface prep. Did chunks flake off? Switch to an alcohol marker or add a primer.
The situations where alcohol markers make more sense?
any small surface under 10 millimeters, any light-colored surface without chemical exposure, any dark surface where abrasion, not solvents, is the primary threat, any high-throughput environment where cure time matters. It's a rough industry heuristic.
The default should probably be alcohol markers, with paint markers as the specialized tool for specific conditions.
The key is consistency. Same pressure, same cloth, same number of rubs across all your tests. You're comparing markers, not certifying to a standard. The smarter approach is to default to alcohol markers and only use paint when the chemical environment demands it.
Before we wrap up, let's give people something actionable. What's the one thing a listener should do differently tomorrow?
But you can approximate it by using a consistent technique. Place the cloth flat on the mark, use two fingers, apply enough pressure to feel the texture of the surface through the cloth, and move in one direction only, not back and forth. Count each pass as one rub. It's not perfect, but it's reproducible enough to compare two markers on the same substrate with the same person doing the rubbing.
The surface prep step. Just isopropyl alcohol and a wipe.
70% or higher isopropyl alcohol, a lint-free wipe, 5 seconds of rubbing, let it evaporate completely, which takes maybe 10 seconds, then mark. Don't touch the surface after cleaning, your fingers have oils.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1920s, French colonial administrators in Niger documented a Patolli scoring record where a single player achieved 17 consecutive successful landings on the game's triangular scoring spaces. A streak so statistically improbable that the colonial ethnographer initially dismissed it as cheating, until local players demonstrated the exact dice rolling technique that made it reproducible.
Whether the failure mode matches the consequence. A faded but readable mark is an inconvenience. A mark that's physically missing a chunk through the middle of a digit is a lost asset.
The ethnographer's face must have been something.
This has been My Weird Props. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flemingtop, for keeping this show running. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love a review wherever you listen. It helps other people find the show. I'm Herman Poppleberry.
In cold storage, alcohol markers win decisively, and in any environment where surface prep is inconsistent, the graceful failure mode of alcohol markers makes them the safer bet.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Props, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long ear. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.